I got great genetics, blessed by whatever God you believe in, whatever. Let's just all agree I'm amazing. Anybody.
This is better to have a little dipstick, no. like French toast sticks, but grilled cheese sticks.
That's your dipstick.
And Dawn.
I shouldn't have to say it every time.
Oh, but no. We're fine. We're insane if that's what you need to say.
The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.
We will begin with this email, rad@radradio.com. It is from Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Now, this goes back last week. We were talking about, and I'm trying to remember if this is this show or if this was on the sports show. I may move this email now that I'm remembering it. Did we talk on this show?
And I listen to your sports show every day, so I can help.
Okay, good, good, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know how untrue that is.
I tuned in once for a minute.
I know we did this on the Mixed Pick Sports Show, which we do every 10 a.m. On Rad TV and the members site and the Rad Radio app and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. We were talking about meeting athletes and meeting celebrities. Is that only where we did it?
Well, we've done that talk on this show before, but specifically you and Steve Mickelson were talking about meeting your sports heroes and how disappointing it could be. I know Steve was talking about a bowler that he met who was really upset with him, or he was upset by getting beat by Steve in a round of bowling.
Yeah, now wait, I think if I remember that story correctly, I think it wasn't it a non-bowler but a professional athlete who thought he was a great bowler.
Yeah, I think he
had like a 180 average, which is pretty good, but Steve is like a 220, 230
Damn.
Bowler.
Yes. It was followed by you at the South Lake Tahoe charity golf tournament.
Yes. And the Michael Jordan story, which I'll recap in a second. It was on the Mixed Pick Sports Show, but I'll read it here as well. So Steve and I were doing those, and we've been fortunate through our lives, all of us, but Steve and I with sports people, to have opportunities to meet people. And there was no way on that show to work in the story because of the way the show runs of Kyle, because we were talking about both good and bad interactions. And I told the story about Joe Morgan, former second baseman, and he did Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN for a while.
He was a golfer.
And what an ass he was to me when I was announcing at a celebrity golf tournament, you know, on the first tee. It's like, you know, on the first tee, Joe Morgan. And he came up to me and we said hi. And I said something stupid like, hey, Joe, how do you think the A's are going to do this weekend against the Rangers, whoever they're playing? And Joe, he at this point, he's retired. He announces for ESPN. Uh-huh. And he looks at me and he says, how the hell should I know? And walks away.
Oh.
Total jerk.
Whoa. He was in a mood.
And that reminded me of, Kyle, you had, I don't remember the specifics of it, but you had no good things to say about your interaction with, I believe it was Jeff Gordon.
Hello? What's going on there?
All right.
Yeah, so, yeah, I had an interaction with him in Hawaii. And
he's a race car driver.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I know.
By the way, is he retired or is he still
racing?
Yeah,
he's retired.
Okay, he's done.
Yeah,
okay.
So he was my biggest – he was my favorite NASCAR racer growing up. And I remember picking him in fantasy all the time because I played fantasy NASCAR with my stepdad. And then I'm in Hawaii. I'm walking around on Waikiki Beach at some of the resorts right there. And I go through one of these shopping centers and I see him with his wife and a kid. And I'm a little buzzed. I go up to him. I go, hey, man, like I'm a huge fan. Just wanted to shake his hand, say hi.
But you weren't rude.
It wasn't rude.
You're just a little buzzed.
A little buzzed.
Slurring?
Being super kind.
Are you slurry?
No, I wasn't slurry.
Okay.
No.
That you remember.
No, I know it wasn't
sometimes
slurry.
We're not aware that we're slurry.
Right.
Okay. I had only been to one bar. I had a cocktail and a glass of wine. I go out and I want to shake his hand. He puts his hand up like me, like stop. He's like, I don't have time for that right now.
To shake a hand?
Oh, yeah. See.
I never liked him. Because in my family, there are some NASCAR fans and a couple of the folks, that was their driver. Everyone had different drivers, and something just never, anytime it would be for 2 seconds that I'd even sit there, and they do pre-show stuff, whatever, interviews. He just never sat with me right, so that does not surprise me that he was rude like that.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon was a love-hate guy. What was his, the Rainbow something?
Yeah, it was
Rainbow
the DuPont. Warrior. Yeah, it was.
Rainbow Warriors, oh, okay.
Yeah.
As we were telling these stories, I thought of Kyle's, but I didn't have a way to tell it because I didn't remember the specifics. I just remembered every time I hear Kyle tell it, I'm like, that, because we went through the whole thing that Brandon says all the time. There's an expression, never meet your heroes. you'll be disappointed.
Oh God!
You know, it's that scary thing of would Keanu Reeves, would Mike
oh.
Rowe?
Oh, no. Stop! No, you know, God! Oh,
so I got to no. tell the story that Brandon was alluding to. That way back, I mean, we're going dark ages before Kyle was born, before my wife was born. I'm working with a co-sponsor of what is still going on today, the Celebrity Golf Tournament in South Lake Tahoe, and I wind up at the bar at Edgewood, which is on the 19th hole, and I wind up at a table for 45 minutes having beers, having Amstel Lights with current NBA players, Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan.
Whoa.
And as I told the story on the Mixed Picks show on Friday, it was extraordinary. They only knew me as a radio host, and they treated me like I belonged. They asked me questions.
That's
we were
so
involved.
Nice.
One of the most memorable, greatest things of my life to see two of the greatest basketball players. Well, I'm sorry. Yes, two of the and the undeniable greatest, Michael Jordan, sit there with me for 45. And by the way, it only ended after 45 minutes because they just had to go. It wasn't like, okay, we've had enough of you, get out of here thing. I would have never left. I would have followed them. If they would have invited, I don't know where they were going. If they were going to gamble, I would have found a way to go gamble with them. Full disclosure. I was imbibing in alcohol, underage at the time. It was 30 years ago. Don't hold it against anyone, including the people that are running the place. Rules are a little different back then, and especially in Lake Tahoe. I was broke.
That's the part that would be interesting.
I would have maxed out a credit card.
Exactly. You would have been, what's a loan shark? You would have found a loan shark.
And what am I going to do? Play blackjack with Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley at $100 a hand when I can't even pay rent?
Yeah, I'm really happy that Michael Jordan did give you that time of day, and same thing with Charles Barkley, more or less Michael Jordan, because for me, as if I was to meet Michael Jordan, he didn't give me the time of day, I think it would have been really devastated. With Jeff Gordon, I was a little devastated. I was just kind of more irritated at the fact that he was that way. But the same time, I was like, all right, obviously he's just a jerk face and I'm going to have to move on.
Yeah.
But with Michael Jordan, like, I mean, I bought a lot of his product and I imitated him, like wanted to be him, tried to dunk as a kid. It would have been so much worse had he denied me like Jeff Gordon did.
Side note, do we happen to have any videos of you trying to dunk as a kid?
Oh, they're somewhere.
I mean, I keep saying you're 6'6". You're 6'4", right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I mean, he had the height.
Were you a tall kid too?
No, I didn't hit my height until it was senior year. I was 6'1" my senior year, but my first driver's license says I'm 5'7".
When you say you tried to dunk, were you trying to do the Jordan dunk where the flying one hit? Oh,
so I did a lot of it on the mini hoop back in the day. I had a friend that was a neighbor kid, and we would play mini hoop. And then if we couldn't get the 10-foot rim, like I could touch it, but I couldn't dunk, so we'd have to lower it down to 8 feet, and that's when I could dunk.
I could touch the net, the bottom of the net, if I really jumped high. But no,
of the mini one or the tall one?
The tall one.
Okay. Because we brought it both.
I know. Fair enough.
Yeah. Is this the women's tease? Or
but Kyle's right. Doing? It does matter on the level of how much you might enjoy a celebrity. And the stories that you hear about them. That's why the whole show has this thing for Keanu Reeves and Mike Rowe and the story here.
Oh, my God. Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, okay. Another one that would be...
I would die if she actually was... there's no way.
Like, let me... A personal example, a guy I really like and respect as an actor, although separate the art from the artist kind of thing, not so impressed with the artist all the time. I wouldn't be surprised, for example, nor devastated, as Kyle's saying, if I met Bryan Cranston.
Oh, that was just that was exactly what I was thinking.
And he was a jerk. I'd be like, okay, that's all right. I get it. I've seen you at various rallies and things. You're one of the best actors of our time.
And it wouldn't bother me.
Wouldn't bother me.
Because
now, you said,
he's so good, I'd still watch him.
Cancel me. Here I come. I still watch Kevin Spacey. And I still love Louis C.K., but I can separate with it. Now, Brandon, were you saying that would be devastating, or were you thinking the same thing?
I was thinking the almost exact same thing, because I could see Bryan Cranston being like one of the most salt-of-the-earth, down-home type of guys who you could have a beer with and just talk about anything, and he could laugh and joke with you. But I could also see him being that little hoity-toity celebrity that might not have the time to... Yes, all of that. So I'm with you, Rob.
So what I really love about the Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley meetup that you had is that was current time that he was actively playing and already one of the best, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And I mean, for them to act like.
It was like right around his second comeback before I get red panned. Please just shut up.
So, so obviously much different level than how people will place levels on people. Right. And the fact that these guys could have, but naturally it seems didn't, just talking to you like one of the guys, to me just shows like I those are my favorite stories of someone who could big time you, which I hate. Because they are, but they don't. Because it's just not who they are.
Right.
They know what they're. I would imagine he knows his abilities. He knows his value. But to me, in that moment, it sounds like he's the type of person that doesn't put himself above other people, and I love that.
Now the end of this story, which is in no way, and I mean that legitimately, a slight of any kind on Michael Jordan. I mean, he spent 45 minutes with me in 1990 at a golf tournament. When I met Joe Morgan and asked him whether, the A's were going to win that weekend, and he said, how the hell should I know, and stormed off, the celebrity that he was playing with, standing next to him at the whole time, was a guy named Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Now, of course, Michael Jordan did not remember me. That's why I say no slight on him.
Yeah. But I mean, that would be hard. He's probably meet so many people.
But you know what Michael Jordan did say? He said, I'm really sorry. I don't know what's in his, I don't know, something. He said something vulgar. What's up his blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That
wasn't cool. You guys have a great day. Walked away.
What a great guy.
Michael Jordan wouldn't know me if I was on fire today.
Classy, but, humble, love
that,
him.
That is a much longer setup than I thought we would need to get to the email from Michael, which I will read if I have time on the Mixed Picks Sports Show today. Lots to talk about. The NBA playoffs are set. The NHL playoffs are almost set. There's so much going on. The Masters yesterday. You can see that at 10 a.m. on Rad TV, on the Rad Radio app, members.radradio.com for the TV and audio exclusive version, and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM.
My husband watched the golf tournament, Masters, is that what it was? And when I found out who won, my recollection was, is that the guy with the wife? That could have been in labor. That is how I connected the dots.
That was what you thought. That was the big thing.
And then my next thing was, this is how I know golfers now for sure, is from the golf show that's on Netflix. And I always forget the name of it.
Full Swing.
Yes, and they just had a second episode. So I'm like, I visually see him like, yes, I remember he and his wife. They were on that show. So I know their personal lives, but I have no idea their golf game.
Michael wrote in and said, Rob, listening to your story about Michael Jordan reminded me of one of my own summer of 1993. I was in high school at Roseville, California. My mom worked at Sierra College, which was at the time the summer training camp location for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, that's right.
I was fortunate enough to get a summer job there with the custodial division cleaning out the dorms where the 49ers players were staying while at training camp. One day, I was taking a break in the dorm room common area, and there's a pool table, a foosball table, arcade games, the normal recreational stuff. I was playing an arcade game, and I hear someone come up behind me and start racking up the pool table. And the guy says, hey, would you like to play? I said, yeah, sure thing. I turn around, and it's freaking Joe Montana.
No way.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to play a casual game of pool with Joe Montana.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Did you win?
To be in the presence of Joe Montana was truly an honor. I will always remember it. Meaning, he didn't win, or he would have mentioned it.
Right? Yeah. Right? How much money did you bet? Yeah,
can you imagine?
I let him win.
Right. It was a scratch.
Oh, my God. I would take all those balls and keep them. Like, he touched them.
And
he
the pool balls, right? Too.
Exactly. Although those won't be worth as much.
Oh, you
One of the members of our Kyle Army, we have a whole line at radradio.com in the stupid store.
Superstore.
Shirts, hats, hoodies, and others of the Kyle Army, one of the best logos we've ever created. You don't have to be a Kyle to be part of the Kyle Army. You can just love Kyle. But this is one of our Kyles, because at Brianapalooza last year, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, we met so many dudes named Kyle that listened to the show.
There was a bunch.
This one says, and he's talking about Classic Rad, which we air every weekday morning from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We go back at least 5 years. It is on the Rad Radio app, and in Sacramento, it's on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. And it seems it's bringing up a lot of memories. A lot of things that were different. I mean, today we're going back to 2017, so that's 7 years ago.
Damn.
This Kyle was listening on Friday and said, it's been a while. since we've had a whistled-off caller. And the lady going on and on and on to nowhere about some dude and his dog that played on classic radio, classic rad radio, that also had nothing to do with the original story about a guy and his dog. And Rob, with his whistle off, cut short, and then followed by the obvious, okay, let's get this bitch off the air type thing, is what puts the classic in classic rad. Now, the one note I would make there is that as recently as 2017, we took a lot more calls than we do now. And it's a twofold situation. One, people don't like to make phone calls. People of all generations just don't like to make phone calls. Two, because of technology, when you're calling us, oftentimes if you're listening using your phone, even if you're listening in your car, like just on the radio and it goes through Bluetooth, you are now stuck. Either if you get through, you're stuck listening on hold and you're behind, or you don't get through, or it cuts off the radio. So you don't even make as many calls. Plus, we've really learned how awful you are broadcasting.
Oh,
and while calls like what he's talking about, where you're really boring and I get to whistle you off for fun, I think we've had one this year. We had one in 2024 that I recall. Mm-hmm. It was earlier in the year. But we don't get the chance.
I feel like we had one time when Brandon was in the captain's chair.
Oh, okay.
And remember, and Brandon got to do one.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
And that was like, yep. I mean, Brandon, that's right? He's the nicest one of all of us. Ooh, and but it even set him over the edge.
It felt so good. I needed a cigarette afterwards.
That had to be an epically bad call.
It was pretty terrible.
It was. I was proud of Brandon. It's like, wow. So good for you.
The point that you're making, Rob, is that nobody likes to make phone calls. So the art of the conversation on the phone is lost. So
yes.
That's made it even worse to take any callers. I mean, just listen to some of the contestants we get. Most of them are great, but some of them... not so much.
Oh, mm-hmm. Boy.
So today on Classic Rad from 11 to 3, we're going to talk about the Eraser Challenge. I didn't even remember this until I read the notes about what this was. Another one of these online things. Girls and boys are doing it. Girls did it more often. Boys were playing Bloody Knuckles. And the idea of both games is to see how much pain you can take. So you take the big pink erasers.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
All right.
And we explain the erasers are not clean, thus they can cause an infection once you break the skin.
Yeah.
And how eraser burns can also cause toxic shock due to all the bacteria.
Lovely.
And then the blood, and it gets into your bloodstream.
What a fun game.
And that there are new rules that you sing your ABCs and rub the eraser on your arm while being videotaped. And then the wounds are compared to other wounds on other students to see who has the worst burn.
We've just always been dumb.
And we conclude with, we've always been dumb.
Spoiler alert.
We just always haven't had videos and posting them online.
Thank God.
That's just one of the many things on Classic Rad today on the Rad Radio app and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. It is time to get back to the return of Win Rob's Change. We do it now once again every morning at 6:30 and 9:30. It took a hiatus. It is back, and we have another mega bucket for you. And we start with Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Who speaks for herself when she says, I was the last winner of the Win Rob's Change mega bucket with clues written by Michelle, the pressure cooker calculator, where the winning prize was the same number found on the barcode of a king-sized Kit Kat bar.
That's right!
$3,422.90.
Clever, clever, clever.
Even though it's been months since I won that fabulous amount, I still can't believe it. I never would have thought I would have won a Win Rob's Change, let alone that amount. And even though I am eligible by the rules to win, and I could become a rad prize hog, I'm going to gracefully listen in on the fun and pass the torch to the next mega bucket winner this round.
That's classy.
Right?
By the way, this is one of the effects of having money. When you have any sort of financial security, you can go, I don't need this stress in my life.
You can have it.
Here's what she says. The stress of keeping track of the clues and trying to get caller 18 was crazy fun and frustrating. And with that said, I hope my fellow Win Rob's Change comrades will have the extra strength and willpower to find the winning prize number in this round, especially to those who did not successfully get to be caller 18 on that epic day that I won. So may this round of Win Rob's Change be ever in your favor. And to Michelle, the pressure cooker calculator, I hope you got to enjoy a king-size Kit Kat bar as you developed another labyrinth round of Win Rob's Change Mega Bucket, you lucky duck. You... Thank you again, Rob, for the cushion me and my family needed this year. Remember that the whole idea had come out of Michelle going to the snack drawer and seeing the king-size Kit Kat bar and coming up with the idea. which,
great.
But she never ate the damn bar.
Yeah, has she?
We haven't heard, as far as
you
I know.
I say yum, and I'm saying yum for her because I don't really, you know, I don't get the Kit Kat. But yeah, girl, have you enjoyed it?
I don't
believe.
Or is
believe it like a souvenir for her now?
That she's followed up.
Well, she doesn't want it. She can send it here. I'll eat it for her. It's king size, right?
Yeah, just keep the wrapper. Yeah. She can send you the candy bar in a Ziploc bag.
Perfect.
I mean, those things keep forever, don't they?
Doesn't sound suspicious.
Why not?
Yeah, are they like a Twinkie?
I think at some point, I know.
Chocolate expires.
But
trust me, I know. I'm an expiration. Can you say anymore?
Whore? Like,
thank Nazi? You. That's a better one. Can you say that still?
What?
Like, I'm an expiration
say?
Nazi or yeah. expiration date Nazi.
As long as you're not pro-Nazi, you can say Nazi.
I'm not, but I just didn't know if that was like a sensitive thing now. I can't keep track.
Hey, everything's a sensitive thing. Come on. Like, literally, the word everything is a sensitive thing. We got to be reasonable on our show here.
Kit Kats are good about 6 to 12 months after the manufacturing date.
And this was only a few months ago that she wrote those clues. So it would still be good. But, Michelle, I know you've got another job now, but if you could follow up and maybe let us know if that
like
bar ever got eaten.
Maybe she's just waiting for her break at her new job.
Didn't she? Didn't she say something in an email like she was going to mail it to Rachel to put up as a souvenir or something? I don't remember. Everything.
Or maybe you suggested that.
All right. Now, by the way, we do have an opening statement from Michelle. We'll read all that on the other side of the break because it is time to win Rob's change. We have a picture up. We've had it up for many days of the bucket with the exact amount in it. That's all you have to go on right now. You don't get a clue or anything. You just guess based on what you're seeing for the exact amount of change that's in the mega bucket. If you know it, you win that amount. Otherwise, Michelle will begin taking us on another journey of seemingly odd phrases, song titles, words, facts, and more that will make no sense until they suddenly do. And remember, a second person will win using the Circles with an S social media positivity app, which we explained last week. And I will remind you how on the other side of the break. What matters now is that caller 18 gets to be our guinea pig, our very first guest for the next Mega Bucket. To win Rob's change, 888-989-9811.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, anybody, and Dawn Show.